Ask me not to get the process.
The process.
Process. This is random, but it's not that I call him a snuggle.
Yes, yes.
Oh my god.
Hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Voices That Cook. And this is your host, William Nunn, who likes to voice act and cook, which is pretty much the main reason for this show. I bring on people who also like to act as characters in front of a microphone and make food at home or at work or whatever it is they do. And I am actually very, very pleasantly excited. Well, I'm always pleasantly excited for every single guest, but I am definitely excited because I have chicken parmesan that I'm going to make tonight. And also I have Henry on. Hello, Henry. Hey.
Thank you for having me, Will. It's a pleasure to be here.
You are most welcome, good sir. Now, before we begin, you were mentioning to me that you were excited about coming on here, and for that, I am very, very happy that you're excited about being on here, because I thought this would be a fun idea to make a show like this, and the enthusiasm it's already had has been very exciting, so I'm looking forward to us talking today and seeing what we can do to make our tummies rumble.
Oh, God. I haven't eaten all day, so my tumbly got the grumblies, if you know what I mean.
The tumbly got the grumblies. That is
the tumbly got the grumblies. Yes.
Walls.
That one almost sounded like meat wad.
I don't know what the guys are going to do.
That's even better.
Oh, thank you.
So, my good sir, in the world of your world, I would say, what started you in the world of voice acting?
Well, actually, it's a combination of things. For one, I am blessed and lucky enough to have not one, but two parents who work in the voiceover world.
Nice.
They are both award-winning narrators. So, as you can imagine, bedtime stories as a child were amazing. Like, I'm talking, I would get to have The Hobbit with all of the voices read to me by a professional narrator, and it was like one of the coolest things as a kid. I don't know what your policy is on cursing, so I'm gonna try and keep my
fucking
mouth civil, but
fucking
I do
go
apologize
for it.
In advance.
Just fucking go for it.
Oh, fuck yeah. So that was the initial, spark of interest, but as my parents will also tell you, I have always had a penchant for making funny noises, doing character voices, and just making funny sounds as well. It's always been something I've loved to do and something that I liked. And so the fact that I can, as an actor, be paid to read and do voices is a blessing.
That's really cool.
But the third and final part of my career is actually based off of spite.
Mm.
When I was younger, I was occasionally bullied because I was that weird kid who would always be reading a book, didn't watch TV, didn't understand like social cues or whatever. So people would always tell me, shut up or no one wants to hear you. And now I'm paid to talk.
Isn't that great?
So, oh, it's, I wake up every morning thinking, I get to be so petty. Yes.
Petty, yes.
And again, yeah, petty, yeah. I get to be a narrator, and you got a weird job. Probably pay you very little.
Go ahead.
No, nah, it was me doing a bad joke as Cartman. hopefully those bullies became, well, I would like to think they would become better people, but if not, we are allowed to laugh inside.
I don't. If it helps, I've forgotten most of their names.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
I remember some of mine, though they weren't like typical bullies. It was more of like I was too dumb to realize, oh, That's what you were suggesting. It was one of those sorts of things. So I was very gullible back then, and I was
you sweet summer child.
I know. And I was also the shy kid, so I didn't talk a whole lot either. And
who would have
thought I'd have a job? Well, not really. I wouldn't call myself in a full-time position right now in voice acting because I haven't even gotten a demo yet. I still haven't even gotten myself into a point of where I'm working on a couple of other projects right now, but stuff to talk about another time. But I will say, though, that I do find it very amusing that I went from being weird around talking with people, and now I talk for both enjoyment, creative fulfillment, and on occasion, money. So it is very nice to go into a trajectory I never expected. And even then, I didn't think I'd get into cooking either. That was something that I was afraid of doing when I was younger. And I had mentioned this in a previous episode or past episode that I was scared to make chili. And after that, that's when the floodgates opened. I could make chili. I could make anything. And even if you look back now and just go, yeah, chili, you can do all sorts of things with chili. It's kind of tough to mess it up unless you don't add salt. Or leave it to not be heated, I guess would be another way to screw it up. But
I've known some people who can fuck up some chili, myself included, when I first started my culinary journey.
Ooh, what's the story behind your fucked up chili?
Well, along with my voice acting, my cooking escapades kind of started in college. I mean, if you want the full story of the voice acting thing in college, we can go about that. But in terms of cooking, during my junior and senior years on campus at St. Mary's College of Maryland, which is an honors college down in Southern Maryland, I had a townhouse with a kitchen. And when I would get stressed, I would bake a pie because my dad taught me how to bake pies. And doing that would help me feel closer to home, closer to family. It was a way for me to channel my stress. And eventually that branched out from just baking to cooking in general. But the chili story in particular, I forgot to soak the beans.
Oh, no.
Because I thought, oh, yeah, dry beans. I'll just add them to the chili. That'll be fine. So I've got the meat browning in the pan, I've got the beans added, I've got salt, spice, everything's fine. I try a bite of it, and I almost break a tooth on this rock-hard little ball of a bean, and I just go, oh, betrayed by my own cooking.
Oh my goodness.
To be fair, I still ate the chili because I was too stubborn to let it go to waste, but...
Oh, yeah.
It was one of my more lower points in cooking.
I had one experience where I was making chicken Alfredo, and there's a way that this container of garlic was set up where you could open up one side and it would allow you to just put in little specks of garlic powder in there. And then there's another where it would open up wide and you could put in a whole lot more.
Oh, no.
I had not only done the all too much, but I freaked out when I saw it and accidentally not only dropped it into the skillet, but it just tumbled all in. Like almost all of the garlic powder that was in there just gushed into my pasta.
Oh. I bet you the vampires never stood a chance.
Could you imagine if you... I love the idea of one day, if I were to ever make a vampire story, I would love for it to be someone who loves garlic. Doesn't have to be Italian. Just someone who loves garlic and becomes a vampire and he can't eat garlic food anymore. He can only have blood.
Make them French. The French love their legumes and their aluminiums and their classic just butter, onions, and garlic is a classic staple in most of French cuisine.
I doubt the garlic would be tasted in someone's blood that he would be sucking, but it would be an amazing story if a vampire was like, okay, I want to go back to eating food that I loved. I love it so much, and I hate this curse that I have on myself now. I want to reverse this. How can I reverse this? And at the very end, the vampire is able to go and eat the most garlicky pizza imaginable.
You could go off on a whole tangent about this particular vampire being a gastronomical scientist and finding ways to cook with blood and how different blood types are like different seasonings.
Oh my, the vampire cook. Vampires that cook. That's the story. Interesting.
It has to be set in France, and it has to read like Ratatouille, except with a blood-sucking vampire.
Now, I will mention that the garlic that was on my pasta, my kitchen smelled like a huge thing of garlic for like at least 24 hours, which smelled great, but it was noticeable.
I imagine like the taste was a wee bit overwhelming.
It was pretty overwhelming.
I've actually, I've also worked in a lot of restaurants. I used to be a server back in college. Mm-hmm. A side note, back during my junior and senior year of college, not only was I in a show, not only did I have a part-time job at a local bar, but I also would go up to D.C. on the weekends to record an audiobook in a studio.
Nice.
And that's a 2-hour drive from St. Mary's to D.C. So every weekend I would drive up and then drive back down. I still don't know how I did it. It's insane.
I'm guessing you had some, did you listen to audiobooks on the way up and back to kind of...
I did.
I would have done that too if I were in your position.
One of my favorite books in the series was... The Devil You Know series, mm-hmm. by Mike Carey, which was narrated by my father, Michael Kramer.
Mm. I am looking this up on Audible right now.
It's a wonderful description of pacing, of character choice, and as my father puts it, of one of the worst Cockney accents he ever gave.
Oh, gosh.
But... it is a delightful listen, and it's still one of my favorite series to this day.
I'm now looking through that. Okay, so it was, what was the name of it? Just to make sure I found the right
one. The Devil You Know by Mike Carey.
Hold up. I am scrolling through, and I may have found something that I am pretty already kind of familiar with, and I want to double check something. Okay. I have to ask this question because my mind is about to be blown right now. Did your dad also narrate for Audible the Mistborn series?
I believe he did.
I see a Michael Kramer on here, and I've listened to them on graphic audio. That's how I got my my introduction to Mistborn. But oh my goodness. I love that series so much, and knowing that your dad narrated that is blowing my mind for Audible. That's amazing. That's so cool.
Oh, yeah. No, Brandon Sanderson, yeah. My parents have worked with him for a while, yeah.
That's amazing, dude. And, of course, I see Stormlight Archives on here as well. Holy mm-hmm. crap. That's so cool, man.
They have done a lot... and going into this particular avenue of work, they cast a very long, very deep shadow that I am going to have to work my hardest to get out from under.
Understandable. Understandable. And I found The Devil You Know, so I've got that on my wish list.
It's a great series. I think you'll like it. It's full of heartache and cool, like... they actually follow the rules of quote unquote witchcraft, which is pretty cool. So it's a real nice read.
Ooh, very intriguing. For those of you that don't know, my last bit of info I'd like to share involving Mistborn and all that. One of the things that really inspired me as a content creator and and someone who likes to make audio dramas and such, I was really amazed with how a group like Graphic Audio could make full cast audiobooks have this great cinematic sound where they would have sound effects and music and all that kind of stuff that is incredibly immersive. And having you can have a single narrator, you know, do all the description bits that would be needed for the story. And then you have actors playing everybody else. But I have friends who have listened to the Mistborn audiobooks, and they keep telling me over and over again that the narrator for it is amazing. So I it's like small world. It's one of those small world things. And I am looking forward to one day where a friend of mine will recommend me an audiobook, and they're telling me the narrator is great, and I see your name in there.
Well, thank you. I'm very flattered.
Mm-hmm.
I've already worked with Graphic Audio on quite a few productions already, actually.
Ooh, which ones?
I was in a lot of the, let's see, I was in Wasted Space. As the assassin turned sex bot, Dust. I was in the Ordinary Magic series as Ryder Bailey, the mysterious love interest.
Mm.
I've been in a couple other productions as either minor characters or antagonists. There was one that we did a production with Marvel Studios. Like, I have an official signed contract with Marvel, where I played one of their villains for a Captain Marvel series.
Oh.
I basically played this sexist, evil pyromancer alien who eventually gets his ass handed to him, which was really awesome.
They did a really good job in a lot of their Marvel content, and I haven't listened to the Captain Marvel one yet, but now I have a reason to listen to it. Get to hear you.
I believe my role was High Keeper Ansel.
Hmm.
Or President Ansel, I guess.
President Ansel sounds cooler.
Yeah. That one was a lot of fun. I got to do a lot of screaming and a lot of talking down to people.
That sounds awesome. I love that voice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, man. It's now just like billions of Graphic Audio questions just wanting to pop up in my head, because I really love what they do, and I want more people to listen to their stuff, and they constantly keep putting out content. Like,
no, they are really great at what they do. They're a fantastic company. They gave me one of my first shots at voice acting, and they are the reason why I am so skilled at character work, because they've given me so many different variety of roles.
It's really cool. And I will mention one other thing that I really I had kind of a fanboy moment at one point where I had listened to their adaptations for Miss Marvel, and I really liked Shanta Parashuraman's performance in it. And years later, we became friends. It's just
nice.
More of a whole small world thing there that just made me go, ee! So now I'm all over this with you too.
Aw, shucks.
But I did want to mention, before we started, I wanted to take a look at your website, which, nice hairdo.
That's an old headshot, but thank you.
You're welcome. There was one particular project on here that I saw that I really wanted to ask you about, because I just felt very much compelled to ask. Could you tell me about Thanksgiving at Macbeth?
Oh, boy. Where do you want to begin?
You were the he who shall not be named in,
Spit three times over your left shoulder and circle counterclockwise. Yeah, no.
Wait a minute, Dorothy, what are you doing here? It's Macbeth. Oh, Dorothy, get out of here. Get out of here. Go.
No, please. No, not my tender niblets.
Not my tender niblets. Oh, my tender niblets, they hurt. Don't squeeze them anymore.
Oh, man. Okay, so Thanksgiving at Macbeth's was a fringe show that we put on during the DC Fringe Fest, and the director, who I love dearly, Solo, he was in the process of writing the script as we were, you know, assigned our roles.
Mm-hmm.
So day one, the script then versus the script at the very end, two totally different things. We went on a massive, like, inter-character study. We pulled lines, we added lines, we scrapped entire sections, we added entire sections. It was a glorious, wonderful, insane mess.
Wow.
And I loved it.
Wow.
And, like, basically, it went from this, like, reality TV show kind of vibe to, okay, there's some inter-family drama with a bunch of rich people, to, I'm dying by poisoned cherry pie that has human remains in it.
Fun.
Oh, yeah. No, it was great. And that show is actually where I met my current partner, Jenna Dulong.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. We've been together for about 2 years now, as of August.
Nice. I hope there was a really good meal they all had for that, because cooking show.
We went to an all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue.
There you go.
It was awesome.
I have yet to make my own Korean food. I would like to make hibachi at some point. I know, not technically Korean, but I would really like to do that and some other things. But I did want to ask this too. As far as, like, all sorts of different foods that you've made over the years, normally I would ask by now, like, what's your favorite recipe? But I'm actually quite curious, with any of your work, at restaurants, did you ever get to make, like, a favorite meal that you would, give to customers?
I mean, I was never a cook in a restaurant. I was always a server.
You were just a server. Okay.
I used my golden pipes, but I did always make sure to check in with the chef and see what they needed, you know, sent out that day, what they needed to get rid of. So really, it was on a case-by-case basis, and eventually it got to the point where I was, before the pandemic, I was head server at a restaurant in D.C. In the Naval Yard called Dacha Navy Yard.
Mm.
And I'm still in contact with a few of the chefs, and they still ask me from time to time to help out for, like, small private events where they need, like, a quality server. And I'm always happy to help because, you know, once a server, always is over. Hands in. Yes, chef.
Gotcha.
But I think if we're talking just if I had a favorite dish from any of the restaurants I worked with,
mm-hmm.
there was, during the summer of 2019, like near the end of the summer, beginning of fall,
mm-hmm.
there was a meal that the chef made that involved an apple brandy butter sauce with pork chops, collard greens, and mashed potatoes. And it had, like, a lovely gravy. The pork chop was so tender. The collard greens were so moist. And it was like a nice staple hearty meal. And I can always recommend that.
That sounds delicious.
It was. One of the benefits of having the chefs as friends is that they're always like, hey, Henry, go try this for me. See what you think. And I would give them an honest opinion.
There you go.
I would actually bring in pies for people to try and say, hey, can you critique this for me? I'm trying to get better at this. So I would bring in desserts for everyone on the floor to have.
Mmm. That's really cool.
And I think one time I made a shot of gin blueberry pie where I soaked blueberries in gin for 7 days and 7 nights and then strained out the gin and used those blueberries in a pie and everyone got drunk off the slices.
Oh, wow.
As a side note, I had blueberry gin for days, so I was, you know, happy as a clam.
There you go. I think probably my favorite thing that I ever probably made at a restaurant I had worked in and was able to serve was probably, this is probably going to be a very lame answer, but I'm very happy about this. Because in my last restaurant job, I only got to help out with frying on one day. And my dad is someone who really doesn't like things undercooked. He likes them overcooked, usually. And I knew he was going to want his fries to be cooked more than most people probably would want them. Very much extra crispy. And
give me that crunch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which, technically, I would prefer my fries to be crispy anyway. But I will say, there were people that were coming up to me going, come on, we need the fries. Come on, we need it. Like, no. Just give me another couple of minutes. Let them heat up in the oil just a bit longer. And they probably came back to remind me one more time, hey, we need those fries. I just said, give me a bit, because I know what my dad wants. And once I got them out and they were sent off to him, later in the day when I met up with him to take the dogs home, they were over at his office, which is where I work now. He was telling me those were the best french fries he ever had at ZZ's, which is where I used to work.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, so I was quite happy with that. Despite not really being a huge fan of working there, ultimately, it was more of a gourmet fast food place and good people there. But it's a different thing when you're constantly trying to get all the dishes cleaned up and then prepare potatoes and salads, but you're not like creating food. You're not creating a dish.
Yeah.
Everything there is already pretty much kind of prepared for you already. And it just takes the magic out of that place.
Yeah, it takes the fun out of it, I'll be honest.
Yeah. And I would feel like I would probably prefer working in fine dining and stuff where you can be creative and do technically artistic things with food, where you can add the seasonings you think would be great and all these other things that make it look very nice and delicious. But I would probably need to go to culinary school to do a better job with it, probably. And if it happens one day, we'll see. But for right now, I have definitely enjoyed cooking at home, and I plan on making chicken parmesan after this is over.
Nice. I've been having a lot of fun cooking from home over the course of the pandemic.
Same.
I've made like large spaghetti dinners with like leftovers for days, roast chicken with smashed potatoes and green beans with lemon zest. It's been fun.
What was the biggest surprise for you as far as like you cooking at home and you decided to try, you know, maybe just try this out, see if this would be good, and it just blew your mind?
That would actually be the bolognese recipe that I modified lately. I blanched the tomatoes. Like, I made everything from scratch, like nothing canned. I blanched and shocked the tomatoes to peel off their skin so I could cook them down. I finally diced the onions and the mushrooms. I grated the carrots so that they would easily shred into the sauce. And I basically minced the celery for all I was worth, and it turned into this delightful, very flavorful, very healthy sauce. And it's become a staple at my house now, where every other Wednesday I will make this dish.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have to send me pictures of that. I want to see it.
I mean, I would have taken pictures, but it's all eaten, so...
Don't blame you there. There have been multiple times where I'm like, I would love to share this image of a meal I just made, and then the plate is empty.
Yeah. But, I mean, to be fair, I've never been a fan of taking pictures of food, because food is meant to be savored and enjoyed in the moment.
Totally fair. Totally fair. I love taking food pictures with my iPhone and just... sometimes it's kind of fun just seeing the reactions people will have whether they're doing like the drooling mouth emojis or just going, oh my God, I want that. That can be really fun. But I also just, it's also just a good reminder for me of like, I made that and I should be happy I did. And
yeah, there is a pride factor involved there. I'm not going to lie.
There really is. And like, especially when you can see people's faces when they try it.
I will say that I actually have to take back that I don't like taking pictures of food, because there's one thing that I do like taking pictures of, and that is my baked goods. I love taking pictures of the pies that I make from scratch.
This is already making me like want to. I don't have a rule towards not making pies. I'd love to make my own pie one day, but I do have a rule for myself personally to not make cake. And the reason why I say that is because once I learn how to make cake, I won't stop. I will just keep making cake over and over. And I fear for my health at that point.
I've actually never been the biggest fan of cake. It's always either too sweet and like with the icing, or it's like dry and crumbly and like it goes stale so bad. But pie just gets better with age.
I could see that. I could understand
like
that.
The fruit juices soak into the crust, and the crust itself becomes that much more delicate and flaky. And then if you can either have it cold or you can reheat it, whereas you can't really reheat cake.
That's true. That is true. Do you ever make chicken pot pie?
I have only made chicken pot pie once, and that was with a very good friend of mine who is also a professional chef.
I usually have made chicken pot pie casseroles. That's usually what I do. But I have not done it the traditional way where it's literally all put together like a big old pie with all that inside. One day I want to do that, but I have yet to do so.
No, I'm working my way up there. I have yet to really make a proper savory pie on my own, but I'm getting there. I'm trying to perfect my crust first.
And I also need to, I still keep telling people this, and I swear I will get around to this at some point. I also want to make my own pizza crust. That's another thing I really want to check off my bucket list.
Now that is, I actually have a website for you that has a fantastic pizza crust.
Do share.
It is called A Part of the Solution at blogspot.com.
I will put that in the description box below for all of you listening to go there as well.
It's got fantastic vegan recipes that are actually doable in a commercial kitchen. It's got fantastic different recommendations for different uses of beans and different uses of greens. And I personally swear by the potato water drop biscuit recipe on there. It's amazing.
That sounds really good.
I mean, as a lactose intolerant person, it allows me to eat really moist, flaky biscuits without having to rely too much on milk or butter.
Nice. I wanted to ask, because I know we've already talked about different foods and such, but I did want to ask the big question. What is your favorite recipe?
Are we talking any old regular like food recipe, or are we talking like baked goods recipe? Like what's the preference here?
I'm going to say, since you've shared a lot of passion for baked goods, I kind of want to hear that one.
My favorite recipe for a really, really nice apple pie, since you know, autumn is, you know, about to come into full swing, is as follows. For the crust, you're going to want however many, basically it's 1 cup of flour and 1 stick of butter per disc of pie crust. You're going to want 2. You also want a little bit of salt and flour to go into your actual pie crust to season it. And you want to cut your butter into the flour with either a fork and knife or a pastry cutter. And then add chilled ice water until the crust barely is holding itself together.
Oh.
You then make that, you separate the dough into two pucks and make them about as thick as your thumb and try and get them as smooth as possible. You're going to dust them in flour, cover them in saran wrap, and stick them in the fridge for about 30 minutes. That's going to allow the gluten to work its way through and allow the pie crust to become that much more tender and flakier. Additionally, if you want, you can substitute some of the water with vodka, because vodka has the same consistency as water, but it cooks off twice as fast, so you have a more malleable pie crust that is therefore that much more tender and flaky. For the actual apples, this is a recipe that was given to me by my father. Typically, you want between 3 to 4 apples minimum in your pie. It all depends on how deep you want it, but minimum, I try to stick to a 3 to 4 apple Monty. You want one apple that's going to hold its shape and basically be the backbone of your pie. Typically, that's your Granny Smith. You want an apple that's going to be more flavorful and aromatic. That's going to be more your, not Gala, but more like a rose-scented apple or something along those lines, like a golden ginger. And finally, you want an apple that's going to become mush and basically become the glue that keeps all of those different apples together. That's your golden delicious. That's your Gala apple. You're going to want to peel those and put them in a double boiler with a tab of butter, some salt, and some sugar. And you're just going to cook that until the apples are soft, keeping in mind that you've already cored and peeled your apples, because no one wants apple skins in their apple pie.
That is
true. Next, you're going to add... I typically don't add a lot of sugar to my pies because I like to taste the apple. So I add about maybe 1/4 cup of white, 1/4 cup of brown sugar. Or if I'm feeling extra fancy, about 1/3 cup of white sugar with about 1/4 tablespoon of dark brown molasses, cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves, allspice. Or if I can get it, grains of paradise, which is a type of cooking, not herb, but cooking spice that basically has the qualities of both nutmeg and ginger all in one, and it's amazing.
Nice.
And the secret ingredient? Either a touch of apple brandy, bourbon, or rye whiskey of your choice.
Ooh.
You don't need much. Just maybe a shot while you're cooking the apples in the double boiler. Maybe another shot for the road if you're feeling fun. Then you're going to basically roll out the pie crust, put it in the pan, brush the bottom crust with a mixture of melted butter and ginger, add your apple filling, put the top crust on, crimp the edges and cut some slits or a hole in the center for the steam to rise, and then you have your choice of either doing an egg wash, which is just egg yolk with a little bit of salt that you've mixed together and brushed over the top, giving it a nice sheen, or, and this is my personal favorite for sweet pies, a milk and sugar brush, where you basically just take a brush and lightly brush milk across the top of the crust, and then sprinkle sugar on it to give it that nice sweet glaze.
Nice.
You're going to want to bake that in the oven at 375 for anywhere between 35 to 45 minutes, depending on your oven, perhaps more, but you want it to be a consistent temperature. That way you get a nice even cook all the way through. Let it sit for a minimum of 2 hours so the filling has time to stay and set. And then you're done.
Wow.
And if you're feeling fancy, get some heavy whipping cream and some powdered sugar. Get a hand mixer. Blast that bad boy together. You got yourself some homemade whipped cream.
Delightful.
And that's a Kramer family recipe right there.
Kramer family recipe. And all of it with the smooth, buttery, fantastic voice of you, my good sir. My friend, I had such a good time with you today. Henry, I am both so glad that you got to be on here with me today and got to talk with me about your family, your cooking experience, and everything else. I knew this would be fun, but just like a really delicious pie, I got a lot more out of it than I could have hoped. So really appreciate you being on here, and hopefully I can have you back on again, whether it's on this show or something else entirely.
I would love that. I just wanted to say thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this interview for quite a while. I'm really glad that I got to talk about what has inspired me and what has fueled me, as it were, both in the metaphorical and, in this case, the very literal sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm almost tempted to see if... Maybe not for this particular moment right now, but at some point, maybe do kind of like a narrator off of sorts.
Ooh, that competition. Okay.
That could be fun. Now, I'm not a professional narrator by any means, but I do enjoy reading out loud whenever I can to help with practicing and all that. But the whole thing with talking about The Hobbit and such, it would be kind of delightful. And Dorothy, were you wanting to chime in as well?
Well, maybe at some point, yeah. Maybe I could probably do something along the lines of maybe reading from Paradise Lost.
Oh, a good old John Milton. Well, you could probably give that a whirl if you'd want to try that. Good Lord. I would probably lose my throat after that, but that would be a worthy endeavor. So who knows? We may have to do like a Voices That Cook special where we bring you back on and we could do like a, maybe we could read recipes with our best narrator voices and see who
if you want to go full sultry recipe, I got you. Mm-hmm. Let that butter melt in the pan for 5 minutes until browned. Then you're going to want to add some salt and slowly sprinkle it all over the pan.
This is the classic version of chicken parm. A restaurant quality chicken parmesan is so easy to recreate at home for a fraction of the price.
Amazing.
Or you can be delightful. Since this chicken is breaded and covered in sauce, it also reheats really well, so you will appreciate any leftovers.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
That is more of my museum voice, which I will say I did have experience putting together audio for it starts out as a World War II museum, but as you go further in the museum, it turns into what happened afterwards with the Cold War, Korean War, a lot of historical military stuff over the last century. And if you go into that particular place, like if for some reason anyone listening decides they want to go check out the Dyersburg Army Air Base Museum and are just like, there's these things where like you could press a button and it will tell you more information about what's going on with what you're looking at. That's me. That's my voice you get to hear for that. So
that's awesome, dude. I'm so happy about that.
I will say it was a fun gig, but it was definitely time consuming.
Narration is not for the faint of heart nor the impatient. It's always a marathon and not a sprint.
Exactly. You cannot sprint it. And correct me if I'm wrong, but at least with how I did it, and I don't know if you would do it the same way, but I always find it best to read ahead everything that you've got to do. So that way...
Oh, most definitely. I can't tell you the number of times where I've pre-read a chapter and managed to record in between half an hour to an hour what would otherwise take me an hour and a half to two because of all the mistakes I have to go back and correct.
Hmm.
Always, always, always do an initial pre-read of the material and then a pre-read of the chapter that you need to work on.
Yes. There was a audiobook for Thrawn back in 2017 for Star Wars. And I remembered thinking about that particular idea of like it would be best to just maybe read ahead before you start recording your narrations. And there's a character that is in that story, narrated wonderfully by Mark Thompson, who's one of my favorite narrators. He literally had to think that this person was really someone else, but you wouldn't know that if you were just reading it for the first time or listening to it for the first time. So that when he changes into his real persona, then it's like, okay, that transition felt very natural, felt very good. It's like, it's just like preparing for, you know, what you're about to do in theater. So that was, I always liked thinking about things with narration like that, because there's always so many things you may not even notice on your first read through when you go back the second time, or you start to actually, you know, plan things out with what you need to do. It just makes me appreciate the time and commitment that it takes for a lot of narrators to do things like this. And I can't imagine when they have to do it like within a short amount of time for some of the bigger Audible projects.
Yeah, I'm currently, for instance, working on a 500 plus page book for Shadow Alley Press. I can't go more into it, but due to various reasons, it's basically been delayed because the script was delivered late and I'm currently in rehearsals. So that's multiple different factors are taking away from my time in the booth.
That's the reality of what we do.
So it's always one of those things where you never know what is going behind the microphone.
Mm-hmm. This is very, very true. Air hugs for all the effort that we have to do behind the microphone for stuff like that.
Bless you. Thank you.
You are welcome. And for any of you out there that want to give Henry some air hugs as well, where could they be able to follow you on the interwebs?
You can follow me on Instagram for pictures of my pies at HW Kramer. That's KRAMERVO on Instagram. Again, that's HW KRAMERVO, or on Twitter at HW KramerVO, which is my, title name, but my username is at HW_Kramer. To see more of my voice acting posts and announcement for various projects that I'm working on or things that I think other people might like, and I'll forward that to my page.
There you go.
And if you don't mind, I have two little shout-outs. Number one, a duet narration piece that I recently have been working on is finally finished and published. The author, Hieronymus Hawks, published it on Findaway Voices. It's called Effacement. It stars both myself and a fellow narrator, Jenna Dulong. And it's a sci-fi thriller, and it's a fantastic read. I highly recommend you check it out.
What was it called?
Effacement.
How do you spell that?
E-F-F-A-C-E-M-E-N-T.
Oh, here we go. Thank you so much.
And the second book I'm happy to talk about is a long-standing book series between myself and the very first author that I got experience with back in college. His name is Stephen Craig McCullough, and I recently finished the third installment of the Miracle Chronicles called Zenith. It should be out sometime either this month or next month. We're just waiting on ACX to approve it. But feel free to take a look at it. It's one of the first series I ever did, so please don't judge the first two too harshly. I promise the third book is much more succinctly narrated.
We all got to start somewhere.
Oh, yeah. No, I got my start doing audiobooks for, like, mutual agreements where, hey, we'll split the profits, total net profit of $5 over 2 years.
Oh, gosh. I don't even think I made much of anything on one audiobook I got to direct. It's an audiobook called Inside Out, and it has nothing to do with Pixar. And, it involves it involves a woman killing people. So a very different circumstance than what Pixar.
That's a whole different kind of Inside Out.
Yep. And the lead actress for the short film, my very good friend Brenna Bentley, it would make sense for her to narrate it, especially since she had already had some voice acting experience with back when she and I made Rick and Morty audio dramas together. So we thought it would be fun to work on that within a single day. And we basically got what was essentially a 30-minute short story, basically recorded and narrated all within 2 hours. And wow. We only had one paragraph we had to redo. It was great to have someone else there to just kind of tell her, hey, actually, let's pronounce that and blah, 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 just to make sure that stuff was in sync and whatnot, and double check with the author to make sure, hey, that's actually how it's pronounced and whatnot. But I've not seen much of anything as far as, you know, any revenue from that. But I hope people, I know people liked it when they heard it. So that's a good thing there. But fingers crossed. But that was, that's probably my only Audible credit that I have right now. Who knows? That could change later.
I mean, if you also want to check out some of my graphic audio work, just check me out on Audible, Henry Kramer.
Yes, yes. And I know they got their Marvel stuff on Audible now, so the Captain Marvel one should definitely be available there. And I'm going to add that to my wish list right now, too. Was there anything else you wanted to plug before we head out?
Just let it be known that I am working on an awesome sequel with Shadow Alley Press, a audio publishing company that I love very dearly. They are fantastic people. And it'll be coming out sometime later on this fall. It's... all I can say is that the puns are punny, the groans are a groaner, and the heartbreak will make you feel things for a literary character who loves pastries.
That sounds delightful.
It is.
That pleases me inside. My good friend, Henry Kramer, thank you so much for being on Voices That Cook. And for those of you who want to follow me on social medias, please do follow me also on Instagram at The Voice That Cooks and on Twitter at Voice That Cooks. And especially Twitter would be good because not only do you get updates for the show, but also updates for my other projects and One Shots D&D Character Podcast and other audio dramas. Any other announcements I may or may not have later on involving voice acting things and me just sharing nerdy stuff like my love for Dune. Hopefully maybe by the time this episode is out, Dune will be out in the United States as well. And I am so freaking excited to see it.
The spice must flow.
Or as Simon Vance, another terrific narrator, would say, the spice must flow. Alrighty then. I think I still don't have an outro yet. My stomach is thinking more than my brain is right now. So whenever I have an outro, I'll bring it in. So anywho, all of you out there listening, thank you so much for listening to Voices That Cook. And if you are on a podcast app that allows you to review the show, please do leave us a review and let us know what you think of the show so far. And if you have any recipes you want to share, feel free to send them our way and let us see them and share what you did and all that. I'd love to see people share their food and see if they want to, you know, listen to this and maybe make their own pies. Oh, gosh, my stomach just went.
I think that's a sign that you need to get some food in you.
That sounds like a sign. Everyone, once again, thank you for listening to Voices That Cook. Good night, good day, and eat good.